Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody.
Justin Robert Young.
Oh, hi, friends. What's happening?
Brian Brushwood.
Yo-ho.
So, gentlemen, you had a little event last week.
Yeah.
South by Southwasted? What? What's this?
South by So Wasted. Yeah.
South by So Wasted, which will be the name of that franchise until we get an inevitable cease and desist.
Yeah, so. Found out that's a thing. Somebody knows some lawyers who has to, we've not yet attracted anyone's attention. Yeah,
no, we've heard rumors. We can neither confirm nor deny those rumors. We just heard an urban legend that there's somebody that looks for certain phrases, but they never talked to me. I didn't know them. All I know is that our fantastic franchise, South by So Wasted 2019, took a tremendous step forward this weekend, where instead of doing stuff at a bar, we booked one of our favorite venues in Austin, the North Door, right by the hub of everything in 6th Street, and we had an amazing 3-hour-plus show that included not only a live Night Attack, but Ice Cream Social, musical performances by the Possum Posse and Dual Core, and special guests up to and including Tom Merritt, the Whiskey Tribe, and Andrew Heaton, who came all the way down from Dallas.
Yeah. Man, it was great. It was a lot, and it was so great to see so many people shine. Andrew Heaton was a great surprise. The way he just slid right in like a finger in a glove, man. He was unflappable, and it was great.
Yeah, he slotted in like super smoothly and like went with the you already said the thing I was gonna say.
Like a finger into a golf glove because there's less resistance because it doesn't have to push all the way through the thing.
I'm trying to think of a metaphor, like a digit or a phalange, like, and some wrapping mechanism that goes over it.
I feel you so much right now, just because we were at the VIP event on Sunday, and
at a VIP event, how'd you get in?
we hosted it.
Heaton's there with a friend of his, and he's like starting a conversation with me about like starting a politics podcast or why I wanted to get into it. And I literally just everything that Bryce said, like I was just like, well, you know, politics is crazy because, you know, you got voting and then I just apologize. I'm sorry. I have not gotten a lot of sleep, and I have nowhere to go. Honestly, unless somebody's paid for me to talk, I need to conserve the energy. So, goodbye. Thank you.
You know, in artificial intelligence, like the things, like when you see those, like the predictive text things, it's called like it's branching or whatever long stem. Yeah. Basically, it's like, and the next word will be this, and the next word will be that. It's just guessing what that is, and it's you're like, and.
That's how you end up with, and then I went to thee, and I went to thee, and I went to thee, and then I went to thee.
Allow myself to introduce thee.
Yeah. So. Oh, my God. So, yeah, this was the first time that a few things happened. We rented the venue. We went through all the process of what that was, which is...
Back up.
All right, sure, yeah.
So you just show up, and you throw this thing together, right? You just show up. Hey, guys, we're going to do a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, Andrew, you have to solve for a lot of problems. And previously the problems that we had to solve for were, a venue, which we never really had, because even if you wanted to do what is very common in Austin, which is tell a venue, hey, we're going to show up, we're going to bring a bunch of people. They're all going to drink at your bar. Literally all we require is to take your dormant stage and possible PA system. And if not, we can bring one. And we'll do a show for an hour. We'll bring people a little drink for much more than that. That's a great bargain. And normally in Austin, that's cool. That's why they have stages, because people can play and bring people. The South by Southwest, however, is not one of those weekends, because everybody is leaving out the possibility that, you know, a Xbox will come by and sponsor throw a party or buy out their bar or do whatever. So nobody wants to lock down their space early.
This is the problem of imaginary money, which is unlimited at South by Southwest, because there are no shortage of stories of, you know, big name, you know, Facebook's coming in, buying out entire sections or whatever. And the last thing you want to do is to have told a smaller podcast consortium that, yes, you can have it for this amount of real dollars. And in so doing, give up imaginary future dollars.
And in the past few years, we've been able to try to stem that off by focusing on, you know, earlier on the day when less events are trying to happen. In a different part of town where there are less events just taking place.
And non-exclusivity, like anybody could come. We're not open charging the public, at the door.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, this was a big change because this was a venue. They had a full crew and possibly, you know, closing out a slot in that, like that.
And so initially, it kind of solves that problem, because once you're paying money, now you can kind of at least be sure that something is going to happen. But the imaginary money problem was still there as we reached out to venues, including the North Door, and the initial prices that they wanted to offer us were far higher than we would have. Let me put it this way. Having now known what we brought in everything that we did, we wound up breaking anywhere between, I haven't done the final math, but anywhere between, you know, maybe $500 and $700 up, right? And we'll figure out as we settle everything out what we're going to do with that. But if we had gone with the initial quote, we would have been in the hole, certainly four figures, if not, you know, into the 2,000, 3,000
which
range.
Which I thought that moment was a pretty good object lesson in negotiation skills, because you said, hey, we have this thing, we want to do it at this time or whatever. And then do you just want to quote, you want to talk out of school?
Yeah, I can look it up. Yeah. I can
yeah.
Look
it up. So they came back with a number that immediately I was like, so not there. Right. Mm. but you realize when it comes to negotiating any of this stuff, a lot of people don't like negotiation, but it's like becoming strong in any kind of muscle. If you can develop that skill, it is extraordinarily valuable, because you have more moves than you think. People think your move is yes, no. Hey, I would like to use your venue. Hey, that'll be $5,000. No. And then that's the end of the discussion. But instead, they quoted a number plus a bar guarantee. And so we had, so now the question is like,
here was the initial offer was, $1,500 for the venue, but also a $1,500 bar guarantee, or
which means if however much booze was sold, if whatever the difference is, we would have to pay out of pocket
and make it up.
And also, and this is not anything to do with the North Door or any of the fine folks that we worked with there. They were an absolute dream, and we wound up coming to a number that worked well for us. But I am personally uncomfortable with something like a bar, where I'm sure we would have been able to see a terminal at the end of the day to see where we came in. But that doesn't, you know, I want to have a bar. If we're doing a bar minimum, I want to have a number that I'm sure we're going to sail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so the other side of that was a 1K rental with a 2K bar guarantee, which was also something that we, you know, and part of it wasn't even necessarily that we were for sure that we weren't going to hit it. Right. We'd never done that before. Like,
right.
We'd never seen how much booze we'd sold. In fact, I probably should send them an email and ask, hey, by the way, how much booze did we sell? Just so we know in general. What we can count on our crowd doing.
And keep in mind, what we're doing is, you know, South by Southwest is a time when almost everybody who's putting on events is doing it to, because eventually there's something they're selling. Whereas we're not, we're doing the event for the event's sake, which all things being equal, I would say that in an alternate timeline, if we were to set up a yearly ritual of doing an event, maybe during the most popular festival in Austin year after year wouldn't be the best place to pick it. But there are a number of people who happen to be in town for that every single year, which helps us.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big, yeah, that's the pro is, hey, if you're already here, show up here. And when I've gone there and been around you, we've met people like who I know, like they're here because they're at South By, but it's also cool they get to go do this. Yeah. But if you do it on your own thing, and then you could do your own thing. If only you had like a massive compound or someplace where that was possible.
Working on it.
Well, you know, and that's funny is that it was interesting to see how the tickets sold, because we had, you know, a decent little pop at the beginning, and as every element of our bill started to go out and tell their own audience, we saw a fairly steady growth, but. I was kind of surprised that we did not see more last day or walk up. It almost made me think that Brian, there might be something to maybe doing the off weekend experience, because
because normally you can rely on some number of people last minute on a Thursday afternoon saying. What's there to do tonight? But the answer during South by Southwest is there's everything to do, and it's a very loud environment.
And part of that goes with there are ecosystems of event websites and booking things and getting the word out, street team, different things,
imagine,
and a bunch of stuff that we didn't have time to put resources into.
If it was not South by Southwest, if this was a random Thursday in July,
sure.
And we had the time, like we could have push to be an Austin Chronicle local pick. I mean, this is a hell of a 3-hour event. And at the $18 ticket price that we came up with, a tremendous value. When I think about how amazing it is that we got the place packed out the way we did during this time in this ecosystem, it is truly remarkable.
Really the big key for me was realizing, all right, well, we're going to do this. Essentially, there were two changes. Well, we had the special guests. We had Modern Rogue doing the first Modern Rogue.
Oh, which also was we could talk about that too. The opportunity to prototype what a live Modern Rogue show would look like by sandwiching it in the middle of much like a variety entertainer or a magician will work on a new bit. They'll make sure it's before and after tried and true tested material, so they're able to keep the entire show going. That opportunity to try to see what a 12-minute performance of a Modern Rogue live stage show worked out great. I thought it was amazing.
It went over really, really well.
No, absolutely. That was awesome. The biggest difference was making sure that we got an act that we had never had there before. And that was Ice Cream Social. As soon as we were able to figure out what the cost of the flights were, the next big question was, okay, what's the one thing I know we can do so our nut is effectively covered no matter what? And that was the VIP weekend. The VIP weekend really was the economic guarantor for the entire project. As soon as we figured that out, then almost everything was possible.
You know, that was back when we used to put together the amazing meetings. You know, that was something we put together, was just because you had people who want to show up. And part of the purpose of doing anything like this, as you pointed out, is it's not a money-making opportunity. It's kind of paying your dues to your fans and giving them an opportunity to meet you and reinforce that relationship.
Yeah.
But when you want to make these things pay off, is, you know, there are some fans that are super fans. And so, you know, we would do, you know, meet and greet with Richard Dawkins and stuff. And you do these sorts of things. Because some people are like, hey, listen, give me a reason to pull out my checkbook.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the checkbook in here. Give me a reason. Just give me any excuse so I can just justify it in my head to give you guys just a little more, whatever. Just tell me a reason. And, you know, I remember we did an auction and we auctioned off the fire permit for Penn and Teller so Penn could do Eat Fire. And it made like, you know, $100. You know, it was just like somebody, like, instead of saying, hey, everybody, donate, like, no, we have a bunch of useless and fun stuff we're going to auction and whatever. And people are like, cool, I have a mental reason to do this now.
And that's what we wound up doing is, knowing that we've built up, and this has been a story of Night Attack for a very long time, Brian's purchasing and selection and emotional roller coaster of the 7-acre Schwood compound. we were like, okay, well, the one thing that we know we can guarantee is you get to go on the tour. And we got some great photos of Brian doing his, like, Walt Disney in the orange fields, you know, pointing out into the you know, what's going to happen where. But that you get to go on this tour. And, you know, we told some of the stories and rumors of the property. But that was something that we knew. Hey, look, if you're a super fan and you really want to give back. And by the way, here's the other secret. We had multiple people fairly early on that were like, let me know what goes unsold. I'll buy it out, because they wanted a reason to do it. And you have to give people that opportunity. If you don't carve that out, then you are really not allowing the financial flexibility just to get things done. You know, this is not, again, like we have a couple $100s, and that's allowing for the fact that I probably screwed something up math wise. And that's not including all the other times that Brian and I just pulled out our credit card to stopgap something.
Okay, that's one journey I don't want to go on, is an actual accounting of whether or not we made any money.
because I didn't expense my flight. Like, I'm not expensing my rental car or anything like that. There's a million ways that we can make this not make money, right? But in terms of the core functionality of it, having that amount of money that at the end of the day, if we do it right, we can go back to some of the performers that perform for free and say, hey, look, here's a couple $100 like bonus. Man, that feels really, 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 really good.
Yeah. As of right now, I mean, like, understand how precious this event was. Everybody who got on stage did it for free. We all did it for free. All of the money went for the venue and the flights and all of that stuff, which to me, I don't know, it only makes it all the more authentic and precious, although unfortunately not sustainable but in the long term. But certainly for this event and what we wanted to do, like, we shot for the moon and we nailed it right in its watery eye.
Yeah, and look, the goal here is to keep making it bigger. The only reason why there is any money left over right now is just because you want to hold on to a little bit of budget room in case something goes horrifyingly awry, you know, and you need to go do stuff. And there was even a little bit of that on the Friday before, when we were wondering whether or not it was going to rain on Sunday. And the next thing you know, we got to run out and buy a bunch of canopies will certainly be well kept there at the compound, where there's going to be,
yeah, they'll get used for something, but still,
right?
Yeah,
often, like, I mean, a goal for a lot of things is just, let me come close to breaking even, like, you know, films and stuff like this, because if you can do a great event and then you come out a couple $1,000s in the hole and you go, this is a great event, but then your attitude is like, well, I'm never going to do that again. A lot of conventions die because they have a great convention, they do a good first year, people have fun, and they're like, oh, when are you going to do it again? And the organizer's like, it cost me, you know, like, sometimes it's just a small amount, but you lose, and then it's the energy to do it again is not there. And it applies to anything, like, you know, filmmaking, short films, projects like this. You want to make sure that after I do this thing, I'll have the energy and resources to do another thing.
That's the biggest thing, is understand you're building a button that will either be net money positive or net money negative. And even if it's only slightly net money positive, there's no disincentive to not just keep hitting that button, and just the faster you hit it, the more you'll get somewhere. So it matters a lot that we, that we cast our sights so high on this one.
Sometimes people will, and I've seen this happen with entertainers and stuff. They're like, oh, well, I'm going to do like a 400 seat venue, because if I sell out every one of those seats, you know, and you're like, you're not going to do that. You've given yourself this opportunity where if this lottery ticket scratches off, you're going to make a lot of money there. That's not going to happen. You're going to find out that you might sell. You have a lot of people. You might be able to eagerly sell 50 or 60 tickets to people you know, and it's great. And you're going to have 240 empty seats, and it's going to feel dead. But had you done this in a 60 theater, an 80 seat theater,
blown it out, yeah,
it'd be a hit.
As a matter of fact, I totally forgot that we live streamed the thing. Gambling Man in the chat was saying that the live stream was great. How did we set all of that up, and how did you feel about how it looked, Bryce?
So every time we do a live event, I always want us to try to do a live stream as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And This year, actually, one of the fans approached me. He was like, I'm coming. I do live streaming as a gig. And so I'm going to be bringing a bunch of stuff anyway. So if you'd like, I can help set this up. So, you know, it was a matter of just making sure, you know, he and the person he was working with could get in early. He brought his own camera. He even brought his own mobile modem thing, because the Wi-Fi was all right at the North Door, but apparently not as good as this Raptor thing he had. And it was great, you know, that someone was able to that we were able to have someone dedicated to that. You know, a lot of this whole event for me had, as we've gotten away from doing the show at a bar on a patio,
right,
to an actual live venue, it's gone from, you know, hands-on teching the show and filming the show to like making sure we have people to tech the show and making sure we have people to film the show.
You're directing now. You're live producing and directing. Yeah.
And so that was the big change for me. And so even though going into it, I knew I wouldn't be, you know, standing up holding a camera for 4 hours. I was definitely on my feet running around the entire time.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be said, is that, there was a lot of momentum, but man, it was great to have, you know, Brian and Bryce and Brant, everybody who's, you know, with the Bizarre Magic Inc. that is a media production crew, mm-hmm. that is so used to shooting in such weird and rough and tumble times, and that we've done these little things that it's like, I'm like, yay, we got a venue. So it's like, my job is like, oh, I rented a venue. We negotiated a good price and we're doing this other VIP thing. And everybody rolled with it. Like, mm-hmm. there was not a moment where I'm like, okay, and Bryson, you'll be live producing, right? It was just Bryce was live producing. Like, that is invaluable, because this, a show like that, that went on time, that finished on time, that got everybody on, everybody played their hits. You know, there was no time where anybody, you know, even the Modern Rogue not being able to douse.
Oh, that was so great. That was so Modern Rogue.
Oh, I have not seen, I did not see the actual shooting of the thing out of the bottle from my angle. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
And by the way, that was vinegar and baking soda.
Yeah.
Like, and that shot somebody right in the face. That got like one row of people. The
woman that it hit, I think she asked me if she was going to get hit, and I think I told her no. And I think she definitely got hit the most. I'm so sorry.
Well, now she knows what a Gallagher concert looks like.
but look, I mean, that does not happen by accident. That does not happen by just rolling the ball out and letting everybody do stuff. Like, there was... I mean, look, this was a show. This was one of those, like, you know, people rolling up and they've got questions and they've got concerns and they want to know why they're playing the certain time slot that they're playing. And we got fans outdoors, and you got to think about who's checking tickets, who's taking tickets at the door. Like, there's just a lot of elements that, you know, you have to figure out and work with. And it was an amazing experience. It was great.
Yeah.
So, Brian, a question. What are you calling the compound? What's its name?
You know, it's gone by many names. Its names are legion, but I'm recognizing, especially walking around doing the tour, whatever we're going to build there, like, the name is so important, because that's sort of the unifying idea. And part of it is, you know, I'm extroverting my way through what are all the ways that we're going to use this space, and what is a name that encaptures all of that. You know, which is one of the, like, for example, our friends over at the Wizard Academy, that is an eyebrow raising name, but it conveys that there's magic and learning, and that there is power, and that there is a wizard's tower. And it's like everything starts to write itself when you have a name. So the answer is, I don't know what we're going to call it, but for right now, we've just been saying the 7-acre Schwood, just because that's funny.
Like, never Schwood Ranch.
Let's just,
we're going to leave
Justin,
that idea.
You want to try to. say public, no. Say how we're not going to encourage that talk, and then definitely encourage that talk.
privately then encourage that.
Schwood World,
Schwoodneyland,
Schwoodcott
Center. Yeah,
there is actually a moment. I got to send you, Bryce, this picture that we can put and we can put on the screen, because I was so proud of Brian when he was doing that tour and just like just
Dolly Schwood.
Dolly Schwood.
Dolly Schwood.
I'll hold on to that until we get something better.
But how was it giving that tour to everybody? Did it feel cathartic? I imagine it must have felt cathartic because there were stories in that that you don't get to tell very many people.
Yeah, and it all. To be honest, the knowing that this VIP event is the financial cornerstone of the entire thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. it would have been a fine party, if an expensive one, were it not for the VIPs. Thank you, VIPs. Thank you, all of you, to everybody who showed up and stuff. Yeah. But you know, you feel this pressure where it's like, all right, I got to tell the story in such a way that people years later were like, I was there. And once you go into performance mode after the fact, there's this kind of crippling self-doubt about whether or not you did the right thing or not. But I felt good in the moment telling all the stories. The only note I gave myself is I didn't begin by pointing out that we're literally on the Austin city limits,
yeah.
On the outside of it, which I thought was a cool fact.
But, and it had a new story.
And that they finally started clearing out trees and stuff. And yeah. And by the way, today was the day I realized I desperately should have been starting 3 days ago. But on Twitter, I need to very publicly be telling the story of all of the construction going forward. We need to be posting Monorogue videos and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because like,
By the way, I know that you've had an internal question of like, well, what do I post on Twitter now? For a million different reasons. There's a million different questions. Well, you know that new sound you're looking for? Listen to this. And it's a bobcats pushing over trees.
Like, oh, wow. Oh, what a photo. Please send me that photo.
There's Brian in a dirt field.
Oh, my God. That's visionary.
With the wrath of God. You will construct.
Oh, that's great. Is that your photo, Justin?
That was mine,
Oh,
yeah.
Please send that to me. That's so great. That makes me really happy.
I just sent two more, that I really liked.
Oh, that's great. God, and it was so much fun. And there was just, you know, and there's also sort of like none of us know necessarily.
That's flying over an open, shallow grave.
That's true. there was kind of a sense of like, none of us knew for sure why we were there, including me, but we knew that it felt right and that there was something special afoot, you know?
I was there a couple months ago when you had the property, and it was like at night, and you could hear at that point the pond was filled up, and like walking behind you as you were just talking about the general things that you want to do, I was like, this is awesome. This is a magical kind of moment to see this at this point. Like, as this gets more impressive, you'll always be able to say, I was there when. And being able to sell the access to that, even if Brian, if you and I were just totally hungover and fundamentally useless, and it was just us just whatever stuff, they would always, no matter what, every time that they saw a video on the Modern Rogue and they see that tour bus refurbished and they see the new warehouse and they see the new thing, and when the pond is all filled up and there's the first little like party that or a video that gets shot there, they'll always be able to say, I saw that as a crater. I saw that the day that the trees got pushed down. I saw that when it was a husk of a tour bus.
You know, one of my favorite parts, it's interesting because when you tell a story, you want to be, and whether it's, this is true, whether it's in, you know, cinema or in magic, you want it to be multi-sensory. We talked a bit, you know, as it began, you're right up against that road. There's constant droning traffic and it's fine. But then you start to go deeper into the property, and because of the topology for it, mm-hmm. like it gets sacredly quiet, you know, like all of a sudden you're only hearing birds. And it was cool that moment happened. And that
well, especially that time of day, right? Sunday morning when, you know, there's
enough traffic that it's annoying up at the top, but quiet enough down at the bottom.
Or I'm thinking of, like, you know, we've heard kids playing next door and stuff, and then little stuff like that, like, it, because of the time, also is not – it is going to be very natural time and place.
Right. Anyway, it was pretty fun.
No,
thank you, VIPs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like whether it felt like the funny part is, I thought we gave a pretty good value for the VIPs as well. $100 got you two meals, a tour, an hour plus tour of the property, drinks, and
an hour and a half show,
and then an hour and a half show and Q&A at Wizard Academy.
And one of those pins. I didn't cop one of those pins. Those great VIP pins.
That was a last minute. I'm so glad we thought about that.
Brian, I know how you can plus it. One more thing.
What's that?
A game of tag.
Ah. Next time.
Oh.
VIP tag. What is this? You just go in the parking lot, like, you're it, and just start running.
Oh, that would be good. A laser tag out there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you just added a lot of cost there, Bryce.
Well, okay. Well,
pew, pew tag. Pew, pew.
But, yeah, you know, and
that would be cool, though, a laser tag out there, though. That is a good point, Bryce. Sorry.
There, not since I was booking Andrew's tours, and just trying to figure out the logistics of, like, talking to the magic communities and
my tour.
No, I mean it's a legit. You went
on speaking tours, right?
Yeah. I mean,
back when I did like magic stuff with like tons of equipment, but like lectures, it's like, have my shopping bags and my briefcase.
I mean, yeah, you still have to arrange all them cities in the right order.
I didn't see you reaching out to all the magic clubs and booking the hotels and driving. No, but that was as silly as that might sound, that was a fundamental experience for me of logistics and trying to figure out how everything was going to string together. It was a fun puzzle to put together, and not since that had I just decided to like be like, all right, well then, what does a VIP experience look like? Like, what are people on the hook for? What do they want? Like, what is the moment that you want to avoid? And every time I saw a full dish of breakfast tacos or uneaten torchies at lunch, I was just thrilled because I knew the one thing that could not happen is the empty version of that. As somebody has a plate and they're like looking around to see what else there is, I'm like, as long as we overbought on food and as long as nobody was ever at a point where they were wondering what they were doing, I was happy.
I just want to say, between chainsaws, like, that is a great point. When you plan events, more food. You don't want – nothing makes people more grumpy than if they go to the food table and because somebody decided to save $30 or $40.
Yes.
You, one person who doesn't get a sandwich.
You
or
will not
like this,
remember the three tacos you ate. You will remember the one taco that you didn't get.
Did not eat. Oh God, yeah. And also food, dietary stuff. It's something to remember. And specifically when you're dealing with people who are paying a premium price for something, it is always necessary. And this is something that I'm sensitive to because my wife is vegan. But you always want to make sure that you are bending over backwards, that you are asking multiple times, dietary restrictions. Let me know. Let me know what you want. Let me know what you like. If there's anything that you want specifically, we can make it happen. All those are $10, $15 problems if you ask at the right time. They are reputation-ruining problems if you don't take care of it before the event.
Right. Well, we did it.
Yeah.
We saved South by Southwest.
We did.
With our chainsaws.
What do you think was the highest hill that you overcome on the weekend?
The scheduling stuff. Everybody being there. Like that event, like that logistical number of plates being spun. Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and thankfully, we only had one a missing person. Unfortunately, Willie Dills had a family emergency that he hit me up about early enough, but it wasn't dual core or Possum Posse, which would have been a bigger a thing. Everybody made it to and from Austin, like Ice Cream Social, so their planes came in on time. The Airbnbs worked out. Really, I think that's just all that logistical stuff, because that's stuff that I had no previous experience. I mean, I had enough experience in traveling that I knew what traveling looked like and what you need to have, like a plane ticket and a place to stay. But specifically that live event stuff, and you never know with the venue. Sometimes you get great venue people, and we had a great engineer.
Yeah.
She was a lifesaver. Sometimes you have not great, and sometimes they are a bigger problem, or you have crossed mixed wires, and you have to be competent. I think that was the moment in which, you know, we were there. There was one official adult, and she was the engineer, and she was dealing with a lot. And we had to tech out Possum Posse. We had to make sure that they were going. And I know I'm looking outside and I see our audience just kind of like amassing in an, a big amorphous blob outside the venue. I'm like, man, we got to figure this out. I don't know whether or not we're allowed to just push this ticket booth outside. So I like poked around and asked a few of the people. And as soon as I got to that ain't my job, I'm just here to put out chairs. I was like, all right, well, let's just push this thing out. And Demon 5, congratulations. Here's the list. For whatever reason, the app wasn't working for brown paper tickets. So it was like, cool, just go and do it. There was just a nice meshing of our own initiative. And I think that's really the big thing is that when you're running your own show, there ain't nobody else to run that flagpole up to. When it's you, then there's like that. That's it. You can I could ask if there was somebody from the venue real quick that had any specific thing. Otherwise, it was just act. And then if you get yelled at, you get yelled at, and you can say, "Hey, I looked."
Yeah, that beginning of the day on the live show was the biggest thing for me because. We got there. We got there a little earlier than we thought we were. Than you know we had said we would, and you know the place was open, but there were no chairs, and we didn't have any engineers, and we couldn't really find any staff people because we were early, and it was like okay, well, what's going on? Yeah. And so that like being in a little cage there, and then you know actually working out the timetable with Chris, our excellent engineer. And you know, getting on the same wavelength of like, okay, well, we're really not rigid on this. We can move around, we can stop, we can make time for whatever we need, and making sure we were all going in the right direction. And once that happened, once the show started, once the Possum Posse were on, it was like we got it, you know.
Well, really, at that point, everyone just needed to stay on time. And
which holy crap we did.
Oh my
who
god,
who saw that coming?
And without any whip cracking or anything, everyone was just like, okay, you know, this is the time that I saw, so we're gonna wrap it up. It was great.
There was one act went over time. Do you know which act went over time?
Was it Modern Rogue?
It was the one that had vinegar and baking soda all over the audience.
But they did start a little late. Modern Rogue did start, I think started just a little bit late because there was some setup stuff.
Sure.
But even then, that's fine because we don't.
It was by minutes. It was by like 1 or 2 minutes. It was really, I think, just because we were also trying, and it was just more getting Jason back up onto the stage so you guys could do your wrap-up thing. But oh my God, the fact that we clicked at that time, and even like Night Attack at the end cresting, because the one thing that the fear of the show, much like the fear of the empty taco tray the next day at the VIP, the fear of the show is we have to make Dual Chord not play Hack All the Things, right? Or all of a sudden Possum Posse's going too late, so they don't play Guy in a Buffalo, or something else happens with Ice Cream Social or something like that. And like Night Attack would have been that was the accordion slot, right? Like if anything goes wrong, Night Attack suffers for it. But the energy had just crested perfectly for Night Attack that had ended almost like a dream right on time, which was great.
Yeah.
I've been looking online at commercial grade laser tag equipment because I can't get that out of my head now.
That's amazing.
I mean, that would be next level.
That would be cool.
That's the sound of my desire. That wasn't Andrew's chainsaw. Run, that was the sound of my desire to do laser tag in that wood. That's like every time you ever got yelled at for running or climbing, like in a commercial laser tag thing, it's like no rules here. do we have any picks?
We were like,
here's my pick, Google Sheets. It was really helpful to track all my expenses in Google Sheets and to make sure that I had a running total of what we were making on brown paper tickets and on the VIP event. I used so we used brown paper tickets to sell tickets to the show on Saturday. I just ran a PayPal .me/nightattack link for VIPs to pay, and then everything got tracked through there. So that's how we made sure that all the expenses were kind of tracked together.
Mm-hmm. My pick is Justin Robert Young and Bryce Castillo. It turns out they're really good at getting the trains to run on time.
Wait.
Wait. Choo-choo. Wait. And, of course, Andrew Main's pick is Black and Decker.
Bryce?
It's quiet now. Go ahead, Bryce.
Geez, do I have any other picks? You know, it was so busy. There wasn't too much time to actually.
Was there anything involved in the show? Any tools that you used in the show?
I'll look it up and I'll put it in the show notes. But Ice Cream Social had this really great mixer board at the VIP show.
Oh yeah,
which we used, and I did not know it existed, and I would love for us to get one because it. That is a solution I didn't know existed, and
it's insanely light and small, but it looked awesome.
But it's a Zoom recorder, so it's actually multi-track, like the Zoom that we
have. Oh, right on.
So
after the fact, it's going to be easy to fix any of that if anything gets blown out.
And it had line outs so that we could go to the PA system. I'll look it up. I'll put it in the show notes. But it's a Zoom multi-track recorder.
Right, Andrew,
my pick. And this is something that it's going to sound lame or dumb, but I buy these composition packs, these booklets. I buy them by like the dozens or so. I just have a stack of them because anytime I have a new project, mm-hmm. so I'm holding one of those, you know, like you had in school composition books, wide ruled. I buy these things. Like I said, I buy a bunch of them. I have a case behind me. I start a new project. Typically when it's back to school time, you can get them super cheap at Walmart and places. But, you know, if I have a new project, I pick one up. Put together a notebook. I've got a stack of them next to me here.
Awesome. Wow. And you know how they're made? They're made of wood pulp. How do they cut down the trees that are used to make that wood pulp to make the paper of that product?
How?
Not sure. Nobody knows. It's a mystery.
The best part was between doing weird things to NAFTA things, I'm like, I got to go see what's going on out there because I'm imagining, I don't know, a couple of like yard workers with chainsaws. I see four guys in orange, you know, crash helmets, hard hats, vests, and a rope going 100 feet up in the air to the top of a tree and a guy up there with the chainsaw hacking away. I'm like, well, this is a real operation here. I'm not going to be able to. You know, go, hey, Jorge, could you maybe just do this later?
No. Yeah, can you guys knock it off? I got some important business here. Anyway.
Well, podcasting.
Yeah, anyway, so did the mummy have a butt?
Yeah. We all good?
Yeah, did you find the gizmo?
Yeah, it's the Zoom R16. This is it. It is super light. It has XLR and stereo inputs. This thing is a beast.
Cool.
Excellent. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.